Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Well, welcome back to another episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. You know, in our culture today, and especially with moms, authenticity is something that is hard to come by. In certain circles, you know, we see things on social media, we see things of people having it all together. And a lot of times we just feel like all we're seeing is people's highlight reels. And it is so refreshing as a mom, especially to be able to have someone and to meet someone and become friends with someone who, you know, is their authentic self and is willing to share those soft parts, those soft underbellies of life that a lot of people just try to hide. And I'm just excited to share the space today with my dear friend, Brandy Brace. Brandy is a homeschooling mom of 8. She is an avid gardener. She's a gardener extraordinaire. I'm always in awe of her zinnias. She's a small business owner, and I just love her heart. So thank you so much for being here today, Brandy.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So you and I met 3 years ago when I started my homeschooling journey. And that's kind of how you and I were connected at that time. And your season of parenting when you and I met 3 years ago, is different than you're in now. So could you kind of share with us what season of parenting you're in now?
Parenting, I have adult children, 5 adult children. I have 3 who are still at home that are middle school and high school age. So I have teenagers and like that preteen going on, but I also have the adult kids who call and ask for recipes, for advice, to complain, all those kind of fun things. And 2 of them are married. So I also have the married aspect. So that's my parenting right now and dealing with the military parenting, because I have 3 who are serving as well.
Yes. So it's just really neat to see the transition of, you know, you and I have talked about, and we were together one time at a homeschooling convention, and you actually got a phone call, you know, from one of your older kiddos who wanted to have that advice. And as a mom of kids who are still in the nest, that was really, you know, that really filled my mama heart to, you know, to see that. So, you know, one of the things when we're talking about authenticity, you know, you just posted, you know, you are a small business owner, and you posted something even the other day, which, you know, which I loved. And, you know, oftentimes our kids make choices that we don't like or we don't agree with. And you even posted that the other day. Like, you know, could you tell us a little bit about what that was about?
Sure. My son is, 19. He is serving in the Navy, so he lives where he's stationed in Charleston. But he is an avid photographer, and he and I took a class together at the co-op where you and I met and really learned some great skills. But he has taken that a step more than I could ever hope to. But when he's taking his pictures, some of them are pictures of him. Some of them are just pictures with different light, and I really admire that. But my favorite picture, and this was what I had posted about the other day, is I woke up and when I turned on my Instagram, here was just having some fun with Knight. And then his post had several Knight pictures that he had taken in Charleston. And then the next post from him was Ann Day, and he showed some other Day pictures. And it reminded me just of what a great photographer he is and what a really... there's a picture, though, tucked away in his Instagram feed that is my absolute favorite that he's ever done. And it's a picture of him sitting on the edge of some water, and you can see a reflection of the trees on the water. Everything's just still as can be. And he's sitting there with his back to the camera, and you see his profile, and then you see this action in smoking. He's very obviously vaping. And I hate vaping. I just, it drives me crazy. He knows it drives me crazy. He snuck around and did it when he lived at home. We all tease about it now, so I can tell you that. But that picture, and I posted this because it just said to me, this is me. This is me. And I know you don't like the choices I'm making, but could you please love me for me? And that love me for me is the cry of so many people, not just our kids, but adults, every person that we have a relationship with, but most especially our kids, because we're, as parents, we're hard on them. We want them to fit in that little mold, and they don't. We can't make a mold. My eight kids, they all have their own, do their own thing. But he especially is a reminder to me that I need to just love them for who they are and who God made them to be.
Yeah, it was so powerful, you know, and especially in the season of parenting we're in, where, you know, my oldest is a senior this year, and I know that those, you know, that freedom, that with freedom comes the opportunity to make choices that I'm not going to like, that are going to make me feel nervous or upset or, you know, whatever. And I just loved that post about love me for me, because those are the seasons, you know, it doesn't matter. That's what they want from us. And you know, it really ties in perfectly with what I want to talk to today. And what I want to bring to my listeners is, you know, I can honestly say that when I first started homeschooling, I had preconceived notions of people who homeschooled in terms of, you know, their kids' behavior and, you know, like, wow, they must never, I mean, they're together all the time and like happy music is singing and, you know, bread is being baked every day, which you do a lot of bread breaking, but, you know, bread baking, but that's a true stereotype that you are like, yes, girl, I got that. But I thought that it was so interesting because when, as a mom who always wanted to stay home and didn't start staying home until 3 years ago, I kind of beat myself up a little bit, like that, you know, if I would have done this sooner, then X, Y, and Z wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be dealing with the fallout of this if I would have just been home with my kiddos. And so, you know, the authenticity that you shared, with different struggles as being a mom, it really kind of just made me go,
because we think that if we do A, B, and C, then the answer is always going to be what we expect. We think that if we follow the rules, whatever the rules we have put upon ourselves, we think that the outcome is going to always be what we are expecting. But there are these little things that fall in there, and they're called children, and they don't really know what A, B, and C is supposed to equal. They know that they're growing and changing and becoming who they're supposed to be, and our idea of what that's supposed to look like as a homeschool mom and just a parent in general, we have these expectations and these ideas of what the perfect family looks like, what the perfect homeschool family looks like. And I can tell you that is, if you're looking for perfect and no warts and crazy, then we're not your family because
yeah, keep on driving, folks. Nothing to say here.
You know, the people that I have found that my family relates to the best are those that can honestly say, yes, there are mistakes here. Yes, we don't do everything correctly. My kids, they're just sinners seeking Christ or not, sadly or not, the same as everybody else. And I think that we need to give each other grace and be authentic so that we can have those conversations between moms and say, yes, this is what's going on in my life. And this is what's going on with my kids. Because if we don't offer that, then everybody just kind of lives in their own little bubble. And there's so much hurt and struggle, and you never get any help. And I think that being authentic and for me to say, yep, this is what's going on in my life. This is really what happens on a day-to-day basis. It's hard. And I know that there are some people who think, oh my gosh, why would you say that? Why would you tell people that? And for my kids' privacy, I don't share things that they are uncomfortable with. But by and large, the really big things in our family, those struggles with those kids, they've given full permission and said, yes, mom, please keep sharing because I know somebody's going to benefit from that. And we need that freedom as moms to say, yep, that's what I struggle with, and be authentic and love each other.
Yeah, I remember I remember when I was in high school, I was looking through and my mom has like certain photo albums, and there's a certain picture of, I was probably in fourth grade and my brother was little, you know, he was not even, you know, he was like three. And we were ready for Easter, and every Easter, my mom would always get us a stuffed animal, and they were like nice stuffed animals. You know, they were really nice. And that year in particular, I had gotten a flamingo. And so it's a picture of me all dressed for Easter, and I'm holding this flamingo that looked like a real flamingo. And my brother had like, you know, like a puppy or a bunny or whatever. And years later, we have these same photos that were, you know, that are always, you know, the tried and true photos. And I remember my mom saying that day specifically, you know, you do all the things to get ready for Easter. You know, we did the hiding of the eggs, you know, she had the baskets, everything. And we got, and she took the photos, and we got to church. And she said, I just remember looking around at church and wondering, what is it that everybody else knows that I don't know? Like, she felt like everybody else had it, like what we would say, like together. And, you know, and I just think that it was, she was in the same boat. Like she, like everybody was pretending that everything was okay. Everybody was dressed up for Easter, but there was like that inner, like, I can't really be myself here. These are some things that I'm struggling with, kind of feeling. And I don't know about you, but I know like 3 years ago when you and I met, the discussion in social circles, in terms of like broader social circles and social media, things like that, like mental health wasn't on the forefront as it is, I think, now, especially with what we're dealing with
not
COVID.
At all.
And I actually just listened today. I was listening to my favorite radio station, which is 99.1 Joy FM in St. Louis, which is available online with an online app. If you don't live in St. Louis, it's wonderful. And they were talking about marriage, and they were talking about during COVID, some mathematician somewhere did the analysis of like how many, like one traditional year of marriage pre-COVID, like the amount of time that like a normal married couple would see each other during the course of a day if they both had jobs like outside of the home, things like that. That now during the COVID lockdown, the year of being together for people who were home and working from home and stuff equals 4 years in terms of the amount of time that someone would spend pre-COVID. So it's almost like dog years.
Wow.
Like one dog year goes 7 human years. Like one COVID year is 4 years
that's a good thing.
For a marriage. so then you, yeah, it, you know, hopefully it's a good thing, but you think about mental health, and if the mental health, and if that release of having people to share those struggles with, then that's compounded by four.
Yeah. That.
So tell us a little bit about, you're in a season of your life now where you kind of are able to now share with others the, like what you're able to do in terms of serving yourself to help with your mental health. But could you kind of take us back and share with us, when did you realize that you needed help with your mental health? And was it a surprise? Was it gradual? And kind of just share with us your journey in that regard.
Let's see. So I come from four generations. I am one of four generations of mental health matters. And I say matters because I don't want to say mental health problems. Because anymore, I think if we all looked really hard, we could all find something that we needed to address that was healing or hurting when it came to mental health. So for me to say mental health problems anymore is just hard. So that's my history. But I suffered from what we call, I guess it's antepartum depression. Before I had a baby, I had some depression, and we prayed for that baby to come early because we felt like that was going to relieve the pressure valve for the depression. But I distinctly remember standing in my hallway, just staring at the wall saying, God, where are you? I can't see you. I can't feel you. And by this time I was pregnant with my seventh baby. So you would have thought that my body was so used to being pregnant that this wouldn't happen, but that's not true either. So that was probably the time when I said, okay, this is what this feels like. Fast forward, things kind of leveled out here and there. I'd feel, you know, a little off, but not really where I had to address anything. And then one of my girls, she was 13, 14, and we started dealing with lots of mental health issues with her. And as that escalated, I realized that I was not coping with the stress that was placing on our family and on me in particular, simply because of our family relationship, she gravitates towards my husband, and she pitted us against each other. And really, I was her enemy. She thought I was the enemy. So anything that was aggressive or anything was directed towards me. But as that was happening, I realized I need some help. Something is off. Something's going on. You know, the typical over 40 woman question was, am I going through menopause? Is this just all of that? So I went and sought our medical provider and talked to him. And he said, you know, there's a time where you have a lot of stress in your life and you deal with it really well. And then there comes a point where your body just kind of can't anymore. It's more than you can handle, and you don't respond in a healthy way. And that was where I was, just not responding in a healthy way. So that at that time, and this was, goodness, she's 22. So about 7 years ago, I went the prescription route, and that was exactly what I needed. Things leveled out. And that was good. As far as how that's continued, when I know now that I suffer from seasonal depression, meaning when it's winter and it's dark and I can't be out in the sunshine and I can't be digging out in my garden, I plummet if I'm not really, really careful with how I'm taking care of myself. In living in the Midwest, as we do now, this is actually our second tour here, the first tour. I would say I was aware of the things going on, but this was before my diagnosis and before I really kind of could evaluate things. But since we've lived here, and actually, Kristen, right after I met you, it was about 3 years ago, I crashed big time during the break between the two semesters from our homeschool co-op. I really crashed. I mean, and I didn't tell anyone. The only person who knew was my husband and the kids who lived in my home. And
And that would have been December. Winter. That would have been smack dab.
Yep. In the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
And now going through that and seeking medical attention and, you know, really talking things through and just doing a lot of self-evaluation and checking in. My kids checking on me, you know, Mom, how you doing? How are things going? And I'm talking about the children that live in my home, who at that time were 10, 12, 14, and 17. So they're really good at checking in on me. My husband is really good about that. But I have to be willing to say, I need today, Wednesday morning became my day to sleep in and stay in my pajamas until 11 o'clock if I wanted. Not every day, because that's bad for your mental health. So if you think staying in your pajamas is good for your mental health because then you're not getting dressed and that kind of thing, it's really not. It's really bad for you. Days, just because I give myself that luxury of not setting the alarm clock, of catching up on 2 hours of sleep, and just having a slower start to my day. But that's not my normal day. That's not normal for me. That's just kind of a midweek, if I need it, I know it's there kind of thing.
I like that. I've kind of been doing something similar on Wednesdays, because I get up early to take my son to his welding class on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So Wednesdays, I don't have to hit that, you know, I don't have to have that early morning wake up. And it is nice just to be able to, okay, you know, and do the routines that make me feel grounded and, you know, rooted in my day. Now since then though, you have kind of, learned more. I mean, you've loved being in the sunshine. You've also, tell us about you have a light, you have a special light that you use. Can you kind of share with our listeners who may or may not be aware of how that works for people with, seasonal, disorders and affective disorders, how that works?
It's called a happy light. And, I will send it to you, Kristen. I bought it off of Amazon. It is specifically for people who suffer from seasonal depression when they don't get enough sunlight and vitamin D, because those are so important for mental health. And so for me, every day I come downstairs, put some happy oils in my diffuser, turn on my happy light, grab my coffee and my Bible, and I sit down and I have that light shining in my eyes for 30 minutes every day. Every single day I do that from about late September all the way until March, depending on the weather and whether or not, you know, it's sunny. Now, if the sun is shining outside, because we do have some sunny days in the winter, if the sun is shining, I try to go outside and just be outside in the sunshine, just because it's natural light's always better. But that happy light, oh, it's been a game changer for me. My physician says, well, there's not research to prove or disprove that, but if it makes you feel better, then go for it. And my logic is, well, it makes me feel better, so I'm going to keep doing it. And so my encouragement would be, if you are doing something that makes you feel good, keep doing it. Don't just stop doing it because somebody says it doesn't work. You know, it's working for you. I know that works for me, and I will do that. Even when I live somewhere that is sunny, if it is winter and it's dreary outside, then that's going to be my go-to, because that's just part of my routine in starting my day. And that light makes such a difference that when on the days I miss, even my kids will say, Mom, did you do your light today? And with that exact expression, did you do your light today? Like, oh, you're kind of off. What's up? So even they notice.
Right.
And it's just, that has been fantastic for me.
Well, we will definitely put that link in the show notes for other people who, you know, want to add that to their morning routine or know of somebody who could benefit. Cause my husband and I were just having that conversation the other day where it was a dreary day and it was rainy. And I was like, this stinks. Like, I can't stand this. Like, this Midwest weather, I can't, it is not my jam, you know, and it's completely different. It's completely different on days where I wake up and, you know, and I have one of my best friends, she lives in Colorado, and even though it's cold and they have snow and stuff, she's like, it's oftentimes very sunny here in winter. And so she comes back and visits, and she, in the last couple times she was here, it was like very dreary and wintry, and she's like, what is going on here? I'm like, it's winter. And she's like, it's not like this in Colorado. And I'm like, stop bragging. Like, you know, but, well, you know, one of the things that, I think is so important too, is that you observed and you really took some self-assessment, and that kind of fits into when we talk about our things and we talk about the S and things is our service to self and others. And that specifically when I created that scaffolding and that framework, the service to self has to happen. And it's not a selfish thing. It's not like we're going to a buffet and we're serving ourselves before we serve our guests. That's, you know, and I think too often moms, because we're so used to everybody else. And when you have 8 children, like you're not sitting down at dinner by yourself eating before you feed the children. Like that's ridiculous to think of it that way. So oftentimes we don't evaluate what's working for us or what's not working for us. And I think that that's crucial. So you love gardening and that's an area that you, how long have you been a gardener?
At least 16 years avidly. Prior to that I would consider myself just a, let's try and see what we can grow flower wise, but I like to grow food. I have really gotten into landscaping, including edible landscaping, since we've lived here in the Midwest. And there's that term dirt therapy. For me, that is so true. And I can feel in myself some days, I just look at my kids and say, I need to go outside for a little bit. I'll be back in like 30 minutes. And sometimes they know that that might mean 2 hours, but eventually I come back in. And when we lived in our first house here in the Midwest, my husband, if he knew I was out in the garden, he would say, and the kids would start looking for me, he would say, your mom's out in the garden, leave her alone, don't bother her. Because he recognized that I needed that time to just be in the soil. And there is something just amazing and fascinating about putting a dead seed in the ground, knowing that there's a spark of life in there and it's going to grow. And then watching it and tending it and caring for it. And I think it's that same thing for me with my mental health, is knowing, okay, I know there's that spark of joy that I have somewhere in there and I just need to find it. And so for me personally, finding that little spark might be something as silly as you mentioned 99.1 Joy FM. I won a contest on the radio like 2 weeks ago. I was so excited. And they sent me a t-shirt that says choose joy.
Awesome.
Perfect. Because every day that is a choice for me. Every day I can choose to be joyful. Every day I can choose to be grumpy. Every day I can choose to say, okay, the sun's not shining outside, but it's going to shine in my house. And we play happy music and we, you know, have a dance party or, you know, any of those things. It's a choice. But in those little moments, you have to recognize that there is that spark and that kernel of joy somewhere. And you've got to do what you got to do to make it grow. Because if you don't, if you just take a seed and you leave it on your kitchen counter, what happens? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The
Nada.
Little seeds. I just ordered some unicorn zinnia seeds. My favorite zinnias. And they're still in the package. They're not growing. They're not doing anything. And they're going to keep doing nothing until I finally take the time to nurture them and put them in soil and give them some water and put the time in. And it's the same with our mental health. We have to take the time to pinpoint the things that are not serving us and to figure out a way around them, to eliminate them, to minimize them, whatever that looks like. But then we have to find the things that do serve us and make time for them, to make time for just making those things grow.
The recent episode that hasn't aired yet, but will be airing prior to your episode, I interviewed a author and we talked about the badge of busyness and how a lot of times when you talk to them, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so busy, da 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 da. And really that badge, it would, if you said, I'm so distracted, like people would look at you like, what? But being busy is something that seems to be okay. But really, when you look at it in terms of serving yourself and those needs that you have to balance your mental health, emotional health, physical health, you know, I know for my own self, it's really easy to stay distracted, because when you settle into the quiet, then you have some decisions that need to be made that are oftentimes not decisions or things that you want to cut out because they're too painful, or you feel like you're going to be letting people down. So it's just easier to stay busy, to stay in motion, because when you're in motion, then you don't have to listen to those quiet voices that are asking you whatever it is. But it was really, it was every time I meet with people and have them as guests, I mean, I have a little notebook and I take notes and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty right on, you know? So let's talk a little bit about, you're a small business owner, and I just want to tell you, I'm so proud of you. You're welcome. You're really doing an amazing job, but what I love is I love how, like, in the last, you know, week or so, you've been sharing about like every birth of every baby. And it has been such a joy for me, because I was like, oh my gosh, look, we had the same glasses. Oh, look, we had the same haircut, you know?
Yes.
But it's just that mm-hmm. authentic self, you know, of sharing about you, because that helps people to be able to trust you and to be able to, you know, have that authenticity. And a lot of times that's mm-hmm. talked about in the business world, in the small business world, especially. But I think that it's really not talked about so much.
No.
In the mom world.
Because we want to be the perfect mom. We want to be the mom whose kids never, never say any bad words, who are never going to do anything. There is a Todd Wilson is his name. He is a cartoonist and a preacher. He speaks at homeschool conferences. You may have heard him, Kristen, but I'm not sure if he's been to any of the ones you and I have been to together. But his name is Todd Wilson. He makes these hysterical cartoons about homeschooling parents and homeschooling moms in particular. And one of them has the mom turned around in the minivan, kind of, you get the idea that she's not yelling, but maybe raising her voice a little bit. And it says, don't tell anybody we had cereal for dinner. Don't tell them that so-and-so isn't reading yet. And don't tell them this and this and this and this. And it's this perception of the mom wants so badly to be that perfect mom that she's telling her kids, please don't tell them what a screw up I am by being who you are. And I think, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So we tease when we get ready to go to a homeschool event or something, and I'm saying, hey guys, you know, tie your shoes, whatever. Did you brush your teeth today? Yes. I still ask my kids. They're 12, 14 and 16. And sometimes I still say, did you brush your teeth? And mm-hmm. thankfully I usually get a yes. So that's a blessing. But so when you're getting ready to go in somewhere, you know, you're doing that mom coaching, same as when you go in the grocery store, you know, everybody be on your best behavior, you know, that kind of thing. But why do we do that? Why don't we just give each other grace and say, when somebody says, hey, how are you doing? I don't say fine anymore, if that's a lie. I'm very, very convicted that in my effort to be authentic and in my effort to encourage other moms, especially moms who are in the trenches homeschooling, if I'm not being authentic with them and I'm not saying, you know what? Yeah, I had a bad day. Yep. We had cereal last night for dinner because dinner was not happening. And yeah, I know you saw that great Instagram post that I put in where I was making this amazing homemade bread and I made homemade pizza for lunch, and all those things are true and good. But you know what? My kids also still eat little Debbie donut cakes for breakfast some days. And, you know, last week we had a plum. You got me again?
Oh.
Okay. So the plumbing
issue. I lost
you. I said, you want pizza or Chinese?
Yep, I'm here.
I'm not cooking dinner. I'm toast. I'm not cooking dinner. And everybody's happy to eat pizza. it's not what I wanted. I would have rather just had the dinner that I had planned, but we had pizza because there you go. But when we don't show up I can't say that word, authentically, there we go. When we don't show up like that, and we don't say, for me to hide that I had crashed, I mean, just totally crashed in December, I didn't tell anybody about that except our pastor's wife. And it was only because on the way out from church, when that was going on, she stopped me and she said, "Is everything okay?" And I said, "Yep, it's fine. I just need to go home." And I did. And I felt so convicted that I had stood in church and lied to her face because I was not okay. And I had to go back to her and say, "You know, you reached out to me and I lied to you and I am so sorry." And she hugged me and she said, "It's okay. I knew I needed to just pray for you and I probably shouldn't have even asked because I could tell you just didn't want to talk." And that was your answer for, "I just don't want to talk about it." But we need to have those friends who are going to say, "Are you really okay?" And to show up and to be real and to be honest and say, "No, I really am having a bad day. Yes, I really do need a friend today. And maybe it's just, can you come just hug me and say it's going to be okay? Not that I need you to fix anything, not that I need you to, you know, do anything special. Just hug me and say it's going to be okay."
I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, sometimes it's even just being able to listen and even joke about something that's completely unrelated. You know, that pressure release, that it's like, oh, you know, and but I think part of the problem, Brandy, is that people are so busy that other people don't want to inconvenience other people. And, you know, that the relationships that we have, and I think that this is so important, and I'm trying really hard to share this with my children, is that less is more
Oh, you are so
when
right.
it comes
You are
to
so
authentic
right.
friendships. And I've seen it time and time again. And you know, my daughter has one friend right now that is kind of her she doesn't talk to her all the time, but you know, they got to see each other last week. They got to each other, see each other the week before. And it made me start thinking about me growing up. Every time we moved to a new place, I had like one best friend. You know, I'd move to a new place and I'd meet one new person. Like, you know, when I was in fourth grade, it was so and so. If I was in fifth grade, it was so and so, you know. And so, and I told my daughter that. And I said, "So when you see me talking to, you know, all these different people, and you hear me talking to, you know, and we call them aunts, like my, you know, Aunt Lissa and Aunt Jenny and Aunt Tiffany." And so those are all people who have been in my life at different seasons, but we've stayed in touch. You know, I didn't just have all these friends in what, you know, my whole life. I, you know, they were kind of like little, you know, they were souvenir friendships in many ways as someone who moved around my whole life. You know, we just, you know, just you cultivated them in that season and then you just tucked them in your heart and just carried them into the future, you know. But I think too often kids don't have those deep friendships
I agree.
and it's really hurting their mental health. And I don't and I don't know how to you know, and especially with COVID and kids not being able to see each other as readily, you know, some people do, some people feel comfortable with that, other people don't. And then that can be difficult because if you have someone who is a friend and, you know, then you know, your child's best friend doesn't want to see people and you know, then that kind of creates a veil of difficulty surrounding them being and having that closeness, that energy, you know, that laughter and, you know, that just that physical, you know, energy that comes between, you know, people. And, you know, like I know there's been times that I've just stopped at your house, you know, and sometimes sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't really want to bother her and stuff.
And then you and then I'm like,
nah, stop. And I got to see those flowers, you know? And, but I like,
yeah.
And then I don't feel guilty, you know? Then I'm like, you know, it's like, we are built for community. Don't limit what you have to offer to other people because you don't think that you have it all together and you don't think that your package is pretty enough.
I ever got were wrapped in cartoons.
Like,
they weren't the perfectly wrapped package with the beautiful bow, and the person had maybe spent as much money and time on the wrapping as what was inside. It was, I tell you what, the most memorable gift that I remember as a child, and it wasn't from my parents. And this is such a funny memory, but my brother, we had this Christmas store that we could shop at when we were kids, and your parents put so much money on your little account. And then you went in this Christmas store at our elementary school, because I was not homeschooled. I was public schooled. So you go in this store and you have, you know, they give you a list of how, you know, the people in your family, and you can go through and buy things, and they try to keep. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, but my parents always made sure we had money in the Christmas store to buy gifts for each other. And I will never forget on Christmas morning opening this horribly wrapped package. And it was this candy necklace from my brother with these little, I forget, they're like the fruit flavored Tootsie Rolls. That's what they were, tied together. And it looked like maybe he had made it, but he told me he had bought it at the Christmas store, and I knew I had seen them there myself. So I knew he had done it. And I was so excited that he had spent his money to buy something for me and then wrapped it. And the funny thing about that is, do you know what happened to that Christmas necklace after I wore it for a couple of days? He ate it. He ate it. Oh my goodness.
He wanted that as a gift. It was a Homer Simpson gift. That's what we call them.
He knew I liked all the jewelry and pretty things and things like that. And I still look back and I think, you know, that's our relationship. He and I have always teased each other. We've always poked fun with each other. And I'm the only daughter. He's the youngest. So you can imagine the torturing that went on between the two of us. You know, I always got to say I'm the favorite daughter, and he never got that until he was in like high school, that he thought I meant I was the favorite kid. Well, I had to be the favorite daughter. I'm the only one. So I could say that, but he didn't get it. And that used to just infuriate him. So that was our relationship. But back to the packaging, it was his heart that was in that gift. That was what was in there. Not, can I spend a bunch of money? Not any of those things, just his heart being in there. And the treasures as a mama, the treasures that you probably have, Kristen, I know I have, are those little notes snuck into my Bible. Mom, I love you. I hope you have a good day. Those heartfelt cards, you know, that somebody has taken the time to send you, or the phone call or the text message. I know you commented on this, Kristen. My son that we were talking about earlier, he never calls me. He always FaceTimes. Always. No matter what time of day it is, no matter what he's doing, he always FaceTimes me. And sometimes I have to like hang up and just keep hanging up my phone until he finally calls me regular, because I can't FaceTime him. I need to just talk, or I have to put him on speakerphone or something. And I finally asked him, why do you always FaceTime? And he said, because I miss you and I want to see your face. And I said, okay, I had no idea. So now when he FaceTimes me, no. I try to answer and FaceTime him. Even if it's, I just got out of bed, because that happens sometimes. Or, you know, I just don't want to, I want to make that a priority with him, because it's important. And we need to be careful that we are doing the things that matter. And pouring into our friendships and our people that matter.
Absolutely.
There's a reason why mental health is so much in the news, and why you're seeing an escalation in suicide and cutting and just all of that. It's so prevalent because we are so isolated from each other, and we aren't willing to just take the time to say, hey, I see you. How are you doing? Hey, I noticed this was going on. And, or even just to say, I miss you. Hey, I miss you. I miss your smile. I miss seeing you every Friday when we get together at co-op or whatever. We don't take the time to do that. And we need to.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And you know, we often, and when I say we, I mean, I'm saying me as well as probably our listeners. We think so highly of ourselves oftentimes that we have to be that perfect package for other people to want us to show up, when really people are starving so much, they wouldn't care if you gave them a little Debbie donut, right? They wouldn't care. And so people's hearts are starving for connection. They're not going to care that I have dry shampoo on. They're not going to care that I didn't even brush my hair today and I have a hat on. That's true story right now, folks. Like I did not even brush my hair today and I'm fine with it. And you know what? If I popped over to your house and you needed someone to laugh and joke with and say, wow, this weather really stinks,
I probably wouldn't even notice.
You'd let me in, ratty hair and all. That's right. You wouldn't notice. You wouldn't notice. And that's my point, is that oftentimes we limit our ability to do what we're called to do because we don't think that we are capable, qualified, or equipped the way that other people think that
I
we
totally
should,
agree with
when
you.
Really they just
I would tell you
want to be fed.
Sharing my family's history over 27 years, because this year my husband and I will have been married 27 years. So I went on this journey to share 27 years of Nathan and Brandy Brace in photographs. That's what I've been doing, just because it was something my kids were asking for. And so I said, okay, sure, I'll post a bunch of pictures for you. But every time I share about that, those are the things that people are saying, oh my gosh, your kids are so cute. Oh my goodness, I can't believe you shared that story. You know, yesterday was my daughter saying, oh, we were so ugly. And I was like, no, you are not ugly. And of course, then another sibling said, yeah, speak for yourself. You know,
Well, I loved that you shared, like, one of the things that I love is that, you know, I didn't know your children as little. Mm-hmm. And in your youngest daughter, I've known her as an adolescent who loves cats. I'm just offended, Brandy. I can't believe you don't have 8 baby books that are completely filled out. I mean, I'm let down.
Okay. I think we actually have 8.
I have one, and I only have 3 kids.
Like,
so you're
they have like the good stuff tucked in them, but I don't think there's any writing in them. That has been so much fun for me to share just our journey. And I'll tell you, Kristen, there's a part of me that as I inch towards the hard part of my parenting years and I inch towards the part where I know I was really struggling, I'm not sure what that's going to look like because I want to be authentic, but that fear of what are people going to say if I say, yes, I, with my husband, drove my daughter to a psychiatric hospital and said goodbye to her for 50 days. If I say that and I put it out there, what are people going to say? And if I say, yes, I struggle. I mean, most people who know me have known me long enough know that I struggle with mental illness. But if I say that I didn't do it well, does that make me less of a Christian? Does it make my faith less? And what we are talking about right now is not something that I've overcome. It's not something that I think you ever fully conquer. You have to, like I was saying earlier, you have to dig down and choose to find that joy every day. And I'm excited to get to the 2015-ish years because that's when all of this was kind of going on. But there's some fear that as I start looking through those pictures and I think, can you see it on our faces? Can you see our struggle? Are there pieces in the pictures that are missing? Because I know they are. And one of my girls wrote a letter to me once that said, "Mom, sometimes I wish I wasn't here because then you could go back to taking the happy family pictures again. And you could do a full photograph with all your kids and I wouldn't be in there messing it up." And I really, that hurt on her side. I don't think she realized it was just because we were so busy keeping each other alive, her especially, that taking pictures of things just wasn't important. And taking the time to everybody get dressed up and go have a family photograph was really the last thing that we wanted to do, because we wanted to know that on a day-to-day basis, when we went to bed and we got up the next morning, she was still going to be there. And I think now that she's 7 years later on that journey, I think now she gets it a little bit, but that those feelings and that fear are there. And I would be not be authentic if I didn't say that that's coming. And I know, cause I'm on 2009 pictures. Once I get there, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, but I know that there's going to be some times in there where I'm thinking, and I'm sure she's thinking, what's Mom going to say about this year? And I'm sure there are going to be other ones of my kids who are going to say, "Oh, Mom, please don't post that picture," whatever that picture is that they know is probably in my box. My journey is to be authentic without being hurtful. And so I think there's going to be a balance. And I think that's a balance that we all need to strike, is being authentic without being hurtful, and really loving on each other. Because we can be authentic, as I tell my children, you can be truthful and hateful, or you can be truthful and kind. And just because you're being truthful does not give you the right to be hateful. And we have to be super, super careful with that fine line of truthful and kind.
Absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, when you look at those photos and you see, and I know for us as well, like, you know, mm-hmm. when you see the Facebook, you know, history, you know, it flips back and does your memories and things like that. When your kids are little and you haven't necessarily struggled with them as independent creatures who are moving towards, you know, I mean, they're independent, but you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, but once they hit a certain age, everybody has those photos. And whether or not they put it out there and they say, you know, this was our trip to, you know, whatever. And, you know, like my mom and I were just talking today about when I moved here from California, it was, and I was having this conversation with my son, is that my senior year, February of my senior year, I was all slated to go to school out in California. I had all the classes picked. I was going to play softball out there. Yep. And Valentine's Day of my senior year, my dad got his orders to come to Illinois. There was no like, hey, do you want to stay out here and go to college? That was not even discussed. And so the whole trip here, and it took us 9 days. We only drove 6 hours a day. My mom and dad were like, let's make it a vacation, you know, and that was our vacation, folks, for the summer. And so the highlight was that we had like pools mm-hmm. in the hotels, you know, that was a requirement, but I slept most of the way because I was so unhappy. So if we took photos of us at the Grand Canyon, yay, right. There I am. But when my mom looks at those photos now, she knows how mm-hmm. unhappy I was. I didn't even speak right. to her for like 9 days. And I was the only person in the car because we had two cars, you know? And, you know, so everybody has those photos, whether or not they want to admit mm-hmm. the truth of behind the smiles or what was really going on. And honestly, until you unpack and look at those photos mm-hmm. with filters off.
Yes.
You're really just fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not creating a legacy of truth. You're just perpetuating legacies of lies. And that is what binds us to not be authentic.
For me, what does that say to your kids?
That fearfulness.
I mean, that's
so,
to me, that's a huge.
Well, I just am so thankful.
Is if I can't be authentic and say,
right,
you know, here's what was going on, or, you know, just give a little synopsis for the year, and maybe I don't hit all the rough patches, but I totally ignore them too. I'm not giving value to what they've lived through either.
No, and you're also almost kind of casting a veil of shame that it's something that they should be ashamed of versus something that a storm they weathered.
Funny,
and guess what? They grew from
my
it.
My daughter, she can now recognize when she needs help. She can now take herself and say to her husband, I need help. I need you to take me. I need to admit myself somewhere. She can do that as an adult because she has those skills, and because we took her and we took the time to pour into her. We didn't just ignore it. We didn't just brush it off and not talk about it. She knows that if she posts certain things in her Facebook feed, that I'm going to call or message her and say, hey, everything good? I'm seeing what you're posting, and I know those are your red flags. So what are you doing to take care of yourself? We have that relationship now because we haven't brushed it under the rug where nobody talks about it.
Yeah. And you have to ask, you know, like my, someone was telling me the other day, cause you know, my oldest doesn't have his license yet. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're driving twice a day on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Don't you get that kid his license and get him a car. And I said, you know what? I'm fine with it right now. And he's fine with it. He's not chomping at the bit. And you know what? It gives us my two younger ones are still sleeping. It's just he and I for an hour, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday, 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back. And I get to check in with him, and I'll say, how are you feeling? How's your mental health? How are you doing? And he'll say, I'm good.
So
I'm good
important.
Right now. Or he'll say, you know, I think I want to check in with my, you know, my counselor. And it is. And, you know, cause he'll say, you know, I need to put, you know, my mental health should be a priority, mom. You know, I mean, how many seniors talk about that like 10 years ago? Right. And so I'm taking it as I'm glad to be able to be in this season because it is a season, and you know, he has that safe time. He knows that he has that time that he can talk with me with no distractions, no other siblings in the car, not, you know, that he could say, hey, you know, I think I need to make an appointment.
Thank you, friend.
You know, and
absolutely.
I'm just grateful for it. But I'm grateful for you even more for sharing your heart today and just being with us. Is there any final words of wisdom?
Please do not be afraid to reach out for help. And I would also, you need to get a happy light. It may be you need to stay on your prescription medication. It may be, like in my case, you need to get off your prescription medication and try some alternatives. I use CBD oil every single day, and I don't have the gray zone that prescription medication gives me. I get to live in color, and I love to say that I live in color because my life is colorful and wonderful now. Don't be afraid to seek things out, but show up authentically, even on the bad days. That's the most important thing, is get Jesus in your life, show up authentically, and let him be your joy.
Hi friends, I hope that you had a wonderful time listening to Brandy and I today. And I hope that you take away the fact that all of us benefit with intentional authenticity. You benefit from it, from being able to be real and honest with the struggles that you're going through. And the people who are listening to you benefit because they know that they're not alone and that it's okay to share the struggles. If you know anybody who would benefit from Brandy's testimony today and how she's dealt with mental health matters, please, please pass this on to others and know that you are not alone.